Good morning, everyone. Isn't it amazing to see the youth with the older, mature folks together, praising and worshiping together? Don't we need more of that? Yeah, absolutely. Well, guys, my name is Reggie Wilson. And you know what? If you look at the screen behind me as well, it says his story. And I want you to know something. You're going to have a few young folks that experience camp. And they're going to share part of their story and how it really impacted them. But I want to share about how it impacted me. But before I do that, it was called His Story for a reason. If you look at it, it looks similar to the Disney symbol, the Disney streaming. And it's all based upon that. Walt Disney had a whole bunch of stuff that he came out with. Mickey Mouse. What else, guys? You can name a few. Goofy, Donald Duck, you name it. And they all had real moral stories. So what they decided this year is to come up with something similar, but a more important story, God's story of his deep love for us and how he longs to be with us. And it really impacted our teens. But I want to share a little about my story at the event. There's two things I want to point out to you. One, I want you to remember this. Why am I here? And two, open your eyes. That's it. So what's the first thing I said to remember? One. Second thing. Open your eyes, right? We're going to go to 2 Corinthians 5. Starting in verse 14. Now, when I went to camp, you know, I went, I have my son and my daughter, they're your brother and my brother and sister in Christ. And I went for them initially. And I went for them because, okay, man, if it's going to get them to go, you know, I'm going to go with them. But I didn't know what I was in for. You know, because the challenge, I've been to a lot of camps before as a teen worker, but not as an older dad, you know? It's a total different experience. So when I went there, I'm playing with the kids and all that stuff. I had a great first day, but the second day, my body shut down. And I was like, that's it. I want to go home. This is it. I'm over. I felt like some of the kids there. But you know what? I had to remind myself there because you know what? There was an inner theme. Even on the outside, I was looking great. I was smiling, acting like I was happy, but I dreaded it. So I had to go and I had to surrender and I had to remind myself, why am I here? Why? And this is the scripture I came upon. It's in 2 Corinthians, starting in verse 5. I mean, chapter 5, verse 14. It says, for Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and who was raised again. That's it. That's what I had to get to the point where why I'm here, why are you here today? It's because of Christ's love. His story is all about his love for us, how much he longed for us, how much he wants that relationship with us. There was a barrier there, but he was willing to send his son. I love what Melvin and Darianne shared earlier about all the things Christ did, how as a parent, he let his son go through that because he wanted to have a relationship with us. We're going to go to one more scripture. Let's go to 2 Kings 6. Starting in verse 17. Hold on one moment. And this is a story. Elisha, not Elijah, but Elisha. Second Kings. Yeah. As we go into the story, what happens at this point, just to give you a little background. What happened at this point is there's this king, the Aramaic king. And what happened at this time is he keeps going after the Israelite king. But he couldn't get him for some whatever reason. For every time something would try to happen, his plan was always thwarted. So what ends up happening, he gets upset and he's asking all his men, what is happening? How is every time I try to do something, my plan is getting figured out? So one of his people came to him and said, we know exactly what's happening. It's that prophet Elisha. So he gets upset. He rounds up a team of people and he said, all right, go get this prophet Elisha. I want him captured. So he rallies all his forces. He goes into this city and they surround the city. And this is where we begin. Okay? In 2 Kings 6, starting in verse 15. It says, when a servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. He says, oh no, my Lord, what shall we do? The servant asks. He says, don't be afraid. The prophet answers, those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elijah prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that they may see. The Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. This is an amazing story because the simple fact, he saw in front of him the physical obstacles. He saw all these soldiers, but he didn't see the spiritual battle. The spiritual battle, when Elisha went back and prayed for his servants and his eyes were open, he saw a whole bunch of spiritual warriors all around that far surpassed those armies. So two things I saw. One, I realized why I was there. And two, there is a spiritual army around there that's fighting the battle for me. And today I want to remind you of that and keep that in front of your mind as these young men and women come up to talk to you. Amen?
Hello, everyone. So my name is Annette, for those who didn't know. And this summer I'm going to talk about preteen camp. And this summer I had the privilege of serving at preteen camp. When I first heard about preteen camp and teen camp, I felt strongly to need to be part of it. As the days got closer and I began packing, I honestly didn't know what to expect. I had heard many different things about camp. But what I did know for sure is that I did want to serve and do this for God. When I arrived, I learned the theme was his story. And like I said, I didn't know what to expect, but I was eager to see what would God do as the days went by. I saw the girls enjoying themselves and they were bonding. And even though I was having fun, I still felt like I wasn't doing my part. And I felt like I wasn't in the right space personally. I had just finished my teaching fellowship program. I was going through a lot at home and I was feeling like my part wasn't being done enough. And even though preteen camp was amazing, in the fourth day of the sermon, there was a sermon that really touched me. And this message was about how even when we don't receive recognition or even when we feel like we're not doing enough, God still uses us. That reminded me that my efforts, and no matter how small they may seem to me, they are part for his greater story. In Hebrews 3:6, the NLT version, but Christ as the Son is in charge of the entire house, and we are God's house if we keep our courage and remain confident in our hope in Christ. God's house isn't about a physical building. It's about us, his people. We are the ones who make up his home, and even when we feel like we're not making an impact, God is still using us for his greater purpose. As long as we hold firmly to our faith and hope in Christ, no matter what struggles we face, we can trust that he is at work through us. His story isn't finished yet, and we are called to keep building it together. Preteen camp was an amazing experience. As a cabin, we got to bond and find one thing we all have in common, and that is Jesus. We all got exactly what we needed in that week. So let's all continue to find ways to serve and encourage the future generation to continue seeking what God's purpose is for them. And in that process, God will show us what is our purpose as well. Thank you for listening.
Hey, what's up, everyone? I'm Shirley, for those who do know me and who don't know me. Good morning, everyone. So this summer, I served as a counselor at preteen camp alongside with my sister Annette. It was a special experience. I had the chance to build relationships with amazing campers in G13, connecting with fellow counselors and diving deep into understanding what it means to be part of God's story. One lesson that really stood out to me was called God's team. As believers, we're all part of God's team with one shared mission. We're all different with unique roles. Some of us teach, others serve, some encourage, but no matter the role, each of us are very essential. When we work together, we can accomplish far more than we could ever alone. Jesus made our mission clear in Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of age." This verse shows that our role, no matter how big or small it may seem, is significant. Whether serving in visible ways or behind the scenes, we all contribute to God's plan of bringing salvation to the world. But Jesus also reminds us and comforts us, letting us know that we have him to rely on. What struck me the most was how important it was to work together as a team. Think of a sports team. When everyone plays their part, the team wins. But if one person doesn't do their part, the whole team suffers. The same is true for the church. Every role, no matter how small, helps God's kingdom grow. My time at camp reminded me that I have my own role in God's plan, and that's a blessing, and how each and every one of us are part of God's incredible mission. And together as his team, we have the privilege of helping his story unfold. Thank you.
All right. Morning, church. How y'all doing? For those who don't know me, my name is Caleb, and I just wanted to share a little bit of the positive experience this teen camp had on me. So honestly, it's just been like a great experience. Coming here really helped me to see God in a new light. And between the worship, the people, the fun activities, and just being away from all the distraction of social media and whatnot, I feel like I could actually slow down and see God more clearly. So one of my favorite parts of camp was the breakout classes. In the class I went to, we covered the story of Jonah. And since I was a kid, I've heard the story of Jonah and the fish before. But this time it really hit me different. We covered it in a more mature way. And what stood out to me was that how patient God was with Jonah. Even when Jonah literally ran in the opposite direction of where God told him to go. Jonah literally went 2,000 miles in a place that he wanted to go when God gave him the task to only go 500 miles to save his people. See, it made me realize that God doesn't just give up on us when we mess up or when we're stubborn. Jonah himself realized this when he was in the belly of the fish. And when he was spat out, he wanted to go and do the mission that God gave him to do. He decided to obey. And this shows that God keeps working with us, and his love is way bigger than just our mistakes. And that really encouraged me because I know I don't always get it right in life. Sometimes, well, like most times, I'm stubborn in life, especially with my mom. But seeing how God never gave up on Jonah showed me that he won't give up on me either. So yeah, this camp has been more than just fun, and it's been a chance for me to grow closer to God. And to learn more about his character and to be reminded that he's with me no matter what. And I'm really thankful I got the opportunity to go to camp. Thank you to all the counselors, people who made it possible for me to go. And I'll carry this experience with me moving forward in life. Thank you.
How do you turn it, Miss Kim? How do you make it lower? I'm kind of short.
Oh,
can you make it lower?
Girl, you know.
Oh, gonna fall over.
There you go.
Okay, there we go. Hello. Okay, hold on. Organize myself. Okay. Hello, everyone. As you may know, my name is Maya Salas, and I'm currently in 11th grade. This past summer, I attended teen church camp at Camp Tawanda alongside my fellow Queens friends. I have been attending church camp since I think it was 2022-ish, and a teen for the past, I think, 3 years. Fun fact about me, I strive to be a support for everyone, even when some people don't support me back. This past summer was filled with new understandings about my own self. On the first night or so of church camp, my cabin counselor posed the question of what do you struggle with the most when it comes to your relationship with God? Thousands of answers rushed through my mind. However, when my time came to respond, unconditional love is what I voiced. Unconditional love in the context of receiving comfort and support through thick and thin, regardless of human error. I didn't and still don't fully understand how a being, a force, a God would love me, a person who struggles with believing in the presence of God. As I began to understand this mental block, this emotional confusion, I also began a week of reflection. Comprehending the reason I battle so much disbelief in the concept of unconditional love was rooted in my upbringing. After all, my relationship with my very own father was one I have learned to not trust. My own father told me words of love and then proved through actions that his love, respect, and time was earned, and I was unworthy of his effort. This, on top of my rocky relationship with my mother, has placed me in positions of losing trust, losing faith, and becoming overly self-conscious due to not wanting others to feel how I have once felt. Through my reflection of my emotional roots, I was still living my week at church camp, attempting to be positive and calm even when my soul felt heavy. I remember that Thursday during camp was my birthday, and I was surprised by the one and only amazing Reggie and Kim Coleman, with a McDonald's lunch meal for me and my fellow Queens family. I felt extremely supported and loved that day. However, in the midst of the celebration, my cabin mate, who overheard about the festivities, voiced her desire to be included. She, in my opinion, kept voicing how unfair it was for me and the Queens teens to get special food and she not be included. I attempted to explain the reasoning behind the selected group, and I was met with pushback. This brought up feelings in me of being selfish, greedy, unkind, and unsupportive, the very things I hope to never be. Bringing up again the feelings of not being worthy of love, never mind unconditional love. While juggling all these questions and emotions, I came across the scripture Jeremiah 31:3, NIV version, which says, "I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness." The scripture aided me in understanding that I am worthy of love, of God's unconditional love, even when I feel like I'm being unfair or unrighteous. Thank you.
Let me think, I'm a bit taller. Okay. Hi guys, my name is Avery Lofton, second daughter of Melvin and Darianne Lofton, they shared earlier. First off, I want to say the camp food this year wasn't actually that bad. So our prayers were answered. Amen to that. It decent this year.
Yes.
I was recently baptized this June, and that was like a couple months before I went to camp. So I was happy about that. And actually, a week before camp, they asked me if I would like to share. And I was kind of nervous. I was kind of excited because I was called. Well, what I was told when I was getting baptized was I'm supposed to fish for men. I was supposed to be a fisher for men. And I was nervous because I'm like, you know, 2 months in, I don't know if I could do it. I don't know if, you know, anybody would listen to what I have to say. And I was already struggling to share the Bible with people and to do it even at church camp, even though it's the perfect setting for that. I was still a bit nervous. But surprisingly, when I went up and shared, it was a good response. I was actually surprised on how interested people were about God. And that says a lot. I mean, it's church camp. You would expect people to be excited to learn about God, but I've been going to church camp for, I don't even know, 6 years, 5 years, 7 years. But each year, I'm kind of, you know, we're teens. We have a lot more time to go. And God isn't the first thing on our mind. But what encouraged me this year was how interested my peers were interested in God. Like, they were actively listening. They were actively taking notes. They were asking questions. Like, I can't count how on my fingers, on all of my fingers, all of my toes, on how many people came up to me talking about how they want to, after camp, go and study the Bible. and how many people said, Avery, you inspired me to go study the Bible. And that was what encouraged me so much at camp. And I felt so, they were so welcoming. Everybody was so, like Amber said in her video, even for the smallest of things we did, ooh, yes, you go. Yes, girl, you got this. Yes. It was probably the best camp year I've got to go to this year. And I would, surprisingly, go again next year. I know. Crazy, crazy. I never say that. So, yeah, that's all I want to share. Thank you.
Good morning, church. Good morning, church. My name is Kevin Flowers. This was actually my last year of camp. It's going into college now and campus. Yeah. So I just wanted to say it was a very encouraging experience, being able to share my testimony, hear my cabin mate's story, and really connect with them. It's at a point now where actually two of my cabin mates, I'm going to study with them these following weeks. They're starting to study the Bible, so that's really encouraging. So the theme scripture, if you guys see on my back, but Romans 15 verse 4 says, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. I think the task was one thing that we can, positive impact from camp that helps us understand God more and encourages me. Well, I like how Ashton, right? He taught us this section in the Bible. It was directly based off of the scripture about how the word, you know, how it teaches us, how we could have comfort in it for hope. So if you guys can pull up, Genesis 15. So basically, I'm going to read this. Have you guys ever made any promises before? You guys made promises. Have you guys ever broken a promise before? All right. So in this story, we're actually going to read a little bit about Abraham making a promise with God, or God making a promise with Abraham. So in Genesis 15, verse 1, says, it's going to be a little kind of long. I'm going to try to shorten it. But after this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield and your very great reward. But Abraham said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. He also said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to take possession of it. But Abraham said, Sovereign Lord, how can I know that I will gain possession of it? So the Lord said to him, bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon. Abraham brought all these things to him, cut them in two, arranged them in halves opposite each other. The birds, however, he did not cut in half. Then birds of prey came down on the carcasses, but Abraham drove them away. And as the sun was setting, I'm going to skip forward a little to 17. It says, when the sun had set and darkness had fallen, a smoking pot firing with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. Okay, so that's a lot. I'm going to go over it real shortly. So God is making a covenant with Abraham, a blood covenant. He tells him to get three animals to show that God is really serious about giving Abraham as many descendants of the stars in the sky. So he cut the three animals, put their halves on here. And back then, this covenant, you would have to walk through the cut in between on the blood on the floor. What this would mean, this is basically what God, this covenant meant, is that if I were to break this promise, make me be like these torn animals. So on right here, Abraham and God would have to walk through it. But Abraham didn't walk through it because it said the carcasses of the animals, the bird was eating them. So that means Abraham thought a long time about this promise. Anyways, I'm going to speed it up. What happened, right, in the end, it said that there was a pot and a torch that walked through. That was God. God walked through once and then a second time. The reason why God walked through once was his end of the burden, his end of the deal. And the second time was God going on our part, going on Abraham's part. Basically, God is making the promise for Abraham himself. And this is foreshadowing to Jesus further on in the New Testament, how Jesus puts his life on the line. We should pay that punishment. We deserve to die for our sin. We're wretched sinners. But Jesus paid that penalty for us. Even from the beginning of time, God is going to walk through and take our end of the bargain. So I just wanted to close out here and just say that, you know, the writings of the old are here to teach us, and they teach us from the beginning that God had a plan to save us through his son, Jesus Christ, who took the hit our end of the bargain that we deserve to pay. But yeah, thank you.
Wow, didn't these kids do an amazing job? An amazing job. The future is so bright. As we wrap up, I just want to share a real quick scripture real quick. In Proverbs 3, we're reading from the Message version. Proverbs 3, starting in verse 5, the Message version. You know, camp was great. They shared how fantastic it was, which it truly is. You know, because you get an opportunity to take these kids and put them like in an incubator, and you could just feed them God every day. But here's the news, though. We come back. Life happens, right? Turbulence happens. Challenge happens. So in Proverbs 3, starting in verse 5, in the Message version, it says, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one that will keep you on track. You know, I love the way that scripture so eloquently shares it, that everything you do, you know, God, just trust God, put your hope in him. He will keep you on track. And it reminds me of a quick story as we wrap up. Son, a kid gets on the plane. Everybody's watching this kid. He sits in first class. So everybody's on the plane. First class passengers are watching this young boy. It's like, why is he here? On the plane, mid-air, they're telling everybody, buckle up. We're experiencing some heavy turbulence. I mean, the plane was shaking like crazy. So everybody's holding on to each other. This little boy is just on his tablet, watching his tablet, and he's fun. So everybody's looking at him like, why is he so relaxed? Why he doesn't feel any pressure? So this turbulence was happening for over 30 minutes, right? People were, you know, growing up and all other stuff. But what ends up happening towards the end of the ride, a couple went over to say, young man, you saw these turbulence, you felt all this stuff that we were feeling. Why were you so calm? He said, my dad is the pilot. The reason why I feel so confident and so reassured, because he's flying the plane. And we got to remember, when we put our trust and our hope in God, we are assured no matter what turbulence we face, because God is the pilot. Amen? To God be the glory.